This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Audio courtesy of Warner Brothers. Goodfellas 1990, we say goodbye to Ray Liotta. Passed away yesterday at 67.
Finally, Sarah yesterday said, okay, fine, we'll watch Goodfellas.
Ray Liotta dying. Yep. Ray Liotta had to die for her to live.
I'm going to need Pacino to die for her to even think about seeing The Godfather.
She hasn't seen The Godfather?
No.
You're marrying this woman?
She's seen none of the classics. I made her watch Shawshank Redemption, and then she liked it, so I'm building credibility.
And now you have to take her to Shawshank.
Now we have to do the tour.
Goodfellas, the best thing about Goodfellas, and we'll get back to Lyman Coach from the Cleveland Browns here in a bit. The best thing about Goodfellas is... the first time you see it, you're young, and you just think it's this cool movie filled with badasses. And you like when I saw Goodfellas, I was probably the movie came out in 1990. I remember my parents watching it, and I knew it was like a thing. I didn't know it was going to be the force and the American classic it ended up being. But I remember the first time I watched Goodfellas, I think it was at my buddy Eric Perry's house, and I had to be 8-9 years old, and this was a movie of Italian badasses being badasses. And then you get older, and then you get into that phase, got a lot of testosterone going, you're a teenager, so then you want to act like that. And then you get a little, and then you start to appreciate what Scorsese's doing, the acting job of De Niro, Pesci, Ray Liotta from young Henry Hill through coke phase Henry Hill, to holding the Youngstown Vindicator at the end. Like, I think it might be in the Library of Congress. If it's not, it should be.
It's one of the coolest movie posters. Yes. I can never remember. I used to have these movie posters. This was one of them. I was not allowed to watch this movie for a while. There was some parenting there. And then I remember when I was like, I think I was 12 or 13, went over to my buddy Pete Velotta's, and we had the VHS. We put it in. And you're right. The talking like them, because you're a kid, and you'll act like them for the next couple of days.
You start to talk like that, and you act like that.
Yeah. So I just thoroughly enjoyed that. You know, you watched it so many times because you wanted to get the Joe Pesci wanted to get his lines down. Mm-hmm. That was the whole point.
Henry,
fast talking and wisecracking and swearing. And when you're a kid, and everyone tells you can't swear, what are you going to do the most?
You're going to swear,
especially after watching that movie.
You're going to cuss. It's my favorite movie ever. Godfather's your favorite movie ever.
Godfather 2, probably. But
Goodfellas
is right there.
Field of Dreams is just Goodfellas is the quintessential movie in our generation. Field of Dreams is great. He's wonderful now. I look back on it. I don't think that he had, like, there could be roles that you argue about, but he never had a bad performance. Even with the Muppets, he never had a bad performance. Like, he himself was great in everything. But the movie is just the everything about it.
Well, can you consider anybody else in that role? That's when you know they nailed it.
No,
and Sean Penn, John Malkovich.
Nope.
I mean, come on. There's nobody else that could have played that role. I think was there Robert De Niro talk that he was going to play the Henry Hill role?
I see that guy. My favorite scene is when the neighbor across the street tries to get with Karen. Karen don't like it, and Henry takes care of business. I've never seen anything like that, and it just shows you the animal instincts that he has. I mean,
the rage. The rage is incredible.
He looks up, like, because there's, You know, everybody.
It's like when Ken, when Double A forgets to get the chocolate milk in the morning.
Everybody wants to fight.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, the same thing.
Because you put yourself in that situation. Everybody wants to fight until it's time to fight. And he doesn't care. He does not care. Well, he's in the middle of a neighborhood. I don't care if it's the 1960s or if it's 2022. He's in the middle of a neighborhood, and he turns around and he walks, and that guy, they're outside his Corvette, and he just thinks he's hot. And he knows, because it's the 60s, and regrettably guys did that type of thing. What do you want, Bleepo? You going to do something? And then he just pounds him repeatedly with the butt of that revolver.
The great thing about that scene, in every other movie, there would be him, you know, screaming obscenities at the guy while he's beating him. This one, and I went and we brought it up earlier. You asked me to get something from there. There's nothing. It's just him. It's all off the physical actions of him hitting him with the gun. There was no, I'm tougher than you,
like the
vocally.
The thing. Quiet, just the his shoes walking across the street. That look on his face. That look on his face. It's my favorite scene. Everybody points to the restaurant scene when they go in the back and, every night, you two, don't you work? But that scene when he walks across the street and just beats that guy, pistol whips that guy. How did he not kill him? I have no idea.
It's so violent. It's so over-the-top violent. And that is what just makes that movie so special. And the narrator voice, him narrating that movie the way he does, because, you know, it's coming of age because you see him as a youngster, but he's narrating the whole thing. And again, can you imagine any other voice trying to do that and have it be as effective as it was?
None.
He was incredible.
What's your favorite? Is that your favorite part of the movie, or what's your favorite part of the movie?
You know what I always love? I love when he runs over. He realizes when the maid guy, the fight in
Billy Bats?
Billy Bats, in the bar, when he runs over to shut the door, to lock the door, they realize we're going to kill this guy. Or it's going to be pretty ugly. They're going to beat him to an inch of his life.
Because, no, you had to kill Billy Bats, because if you start beating up Billy Bats and Billy Bats lives, he's going to have you killed.
Yep.
And so Tommy knew that, and Jimmy knew that, frankly. And, I mean, Henry was trying to keep it somewhat peaceful, and he was going to have all three of them killed, so they had to kill Billy Bats.
And then just the last 45 minutes of the movie, that crescendo of him being just totally zooted out, and his harebrained scheme.
The helicopter scheme.
He's so desperate.
That's my life as a parent every day. It's me.
Zooted out, huh?
You know, it's me driving from, I've got to get, yesterday was, we've got, kids are out of school. Okay, we've got three games tonight. Well, I'm fine, I got time. And then one comes in and goes, our team wears green, and I only have maroon socks, so we drive to Dick's, and I get green socks, and then I get a call. Hey, can I go stay at this kid's house tonight?
So
and it's the same thing minus, you know, silencers and guns and a bunch of cocaine.
And then him just staring up in his car, looking at the helicopter, and his world is
slamming
closing
on the brakes.
In on
he
him.
Had to slam on the brakes. Like, there's so much symbolism in it. It's the best.
And I still love their over-the-top house. They're over-the-top. They're modern.
The outside is fine.
Yeah, the inside. I guarantee you there are still homes in like Shaker Heights that look like that.
I'm currently remodeling.
If Liz ever leaves me, I'm going to have the inside of my house done like that by Extend Technologies. I'm going to have the white Christmas tree and the whole thing. That's
so tacky. Everything about it is decadence and tacky.
Let me speak up for Karen for just a second, too. I don't blame her for flushing the Coke down the toilet.
It's a panic move. You're not thinking.
She's panicked. She's zooted out of her gourd. She flushes it down the toilet. Now, Henry's screaming at her. But at the same time, I go, Karen didn't know. Got the feds banging at the door. Got your brother there. The whole family's there. Your daughter's just in there going, here we go again with dad. He's got his coke. Here we go again with this. And she's freaking out. Of course she flushed it down the toilet.
The amount of anxiety watching the final 30 plus minutes of that movie just matches the character's anxieties. What they're going through, it's so brilliantly done. And the music is so brilliantly done, obviously.
Final comment for me. That laugh, the best laugh in movie history. His laugh is the best that you'll find. The best. 216-578-0092. All right, can Lima coach the Cleveland Browns? Reggie.
Back to our absurdity.
Reggie in Cleveland, hello.
Ken, hey, love the show, man.
Thanks.
Love you on Fox. Listen,
well, thank you.
He would never make one first down. That's how terrible.
Okay, Tom Brady's my quarterback. We're not going to get one first down.
You may not. Here's why.
This is the dumbest. Okay, if you thought I was giving the dumbest opinion ever, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Now, Reggie said nice things, so he gets a little bit more latitude than other folks would. Go right on ahead, please.
First of all, they would sniff them out, Ken, just like the last caller said. They would know that you don't know football. And then, like I was saying to myself, which on this trap, who would you block? Would you block the one technique or the three technique? Like,
man, that's so high level. That's so high level thinking, Reggie. I don't know that I could ever pick that up. I mean, how in the world does anybody? I mean, it's amazing. Zach Taylor is like 31 years old. How in the world did he pick that up and be able to know all that information? That's got to be impossible. Are you in Mensa, Reggie, to be able to do that?
That's mean. Come on.
Because he sleeps and eats it every day. You don't. You would have to do that. First of all, you have to do that. Then you would have to have.
For how many years? I want to know, Reggie, what's the learning curve? How many years?
It's a 10 to 20 year curve. I was telling someone the other day, I have to remember that I had to put down hats to learn the college defenses because they were shifting and they were moving and it wasn't high school football anymore. And I had to visually see it before I can understand how to really block certain plays and certain defensive fronts. It takes more than 1 year.
It's just amazing to me how quickly they're doing it now and elevating coaches of.
Thank you, Reggie.
And yeah, a lot of times it happens to do with their last names and, you know, nepotism in the family. But outside of that, you're just seeing teams. I'm surprised, quite frankly, to see how fast they are elevating coaches to those levels, just based on age and how they somehow command a locker room. I mean, somehow, some way,
well,
it happens.
They are the. I mean, they can relate to them, but it's also, well, you got to lead us at some point. So there is a mix of both being able to lead and doing X's and O's in there, and there is a better relatability to it. I'm not going to lie. The only thing I disagree on with Reggie is that you'd get a first down. I think you would get a first down. I think you'd definitely lose the game. With Tom Brady as your quarterback or Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, whoever,
so I think I'd go 0-16 tomorrow. I'd go 0-16 with Tom Brady.
If you were expected,
would
to
you
do,
not
guys out of your mind?
Would you not give Tom Brady the ability to audible because you could call a bad play and he just go, no, we're not.
What I'm going to be there to do is obviously motivation. You guys all talk about how important that stuff is with Baker Mayfield. That's you thought that was the whole game, motivation, which was always silly. But the ability to lead, that's the whole point. And making the key decisions. Are we going for it on fourth down? Are we kicking the field goal? Are we setting up on the left hash for the kicker? Like, you're telling me those things aren't also important? Those have nothing to do with X's and O's.
All right, let's get to Daryl Ryder coming up next. See what he has to say about it live on The Fan. We got...
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Got to get that picture taken care of and make it the official show photo. If we can get that from Ben Axelrod.
That's what needs to be on the page. Yeah. You go to Odyssey.
Yeah, because there's a picture of us that looks like I'm 12. And it looks like Lima is my little buddy when we're 12 years old. And there's a great photo that Ben Axelrod took of us. It's actually, I got it. I think I got 8x10s of it. And one of them's framed. I told you, when people ask us for autographs, people do ask us for autographs for Christmas gifts. And so I printed out a series of them. Mine is much nicer than Anthony's. Anthony's is terrible.
I asked Sarah to show me how to do a signature.
And I will do it for free, by the way. We don't charge for everybody.
Sarah's doing thank you letters. And I saw her penmanship, and I'm like, you need to teach me this.
You didn't sign things before you met her?
It's pretty bad. Ken saw it firsthand. It was really bad. I felt bad. I actually felt bad for whoever was getting it.
It is so bad. That's why I don't charge. If it was actually nice, I probably still wouldn't charge because I'm sorry. I think it just takes a real massive ego to charge anything for that. Either way, Lima is over me yelling at me with the undefeated preseason champ shirt on because we were making fun of each other on social media. And I have
the
my
clown post.
I have my head in my hands and I go, it's the picture of us. I got a head in my hands and two beers and a glass full of whiskey in front of me. During what was the worst Brown season, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were
yes.
0-4 at that point. You were wearing the undefeated preseason champ shirt.
I still have it.
And
a lot. I've given a lot of those Brown shirts that we'd get on a whim. There were so many t-shirt companies that exploded when this show started that I gave a lot of them away to charity, you know, in those drop boxes or whatever. I kept the preseason one.
Well, I should know that when I tried to dunk on you, I was going to be getting it. Zach Jackson weighing in, making fun of me now. All right, let's get to Daryl Ryder. Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, first off, could Anthony Lima win a game if the Browns named him head coach right now for the 2022 season?
No, but I'd love to see his signature on the contract to see if it's worse than mine.
Daryl!
I don't remember Daryl's signature being that. Whoa! I don't remember Daryl's signature being that bad. Anthony's is terrible. It's just the worst.
That's bad.
I type everything these days, so when it comes to like having to write a check or write a note, my handwriting's illegible.
That's why I write everything by hand so it stays up to date. Tone ticker.
You have such impeccable penmanship.
Some people say it's horrible. They say they can't read it.
No, you basically write in calligraphy. it's impressive.
But I can't draw, which is odd.
Yeah, I used to be able to draw. That was back in the day.
Yeah, I'm not
not so much today.
I lost my imagination. Daryl.
Yeah, Lima winning a game as a head coach of the Cleveland Browns, I would probably say, depending on who his coordinators are. If it's him and his buddies, then no. But if it's like him and Joe Woods and Kevin Stefanski or Kyle Shanahan or so, then yeah, absolutely.
But I was willing to take it pretty far at one point. Like when Hugh Jackson was the coach here, I said, I could win if you gave me the whole season, I could win one game as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns because I would simply stay out of the way.
Well, you're not
with
winning
his coaching staff, sure.
With the coaching staff, I would just stay out of the way.
Yeah, but you're not really losing games entirely. Yes, there are X's and O games where you're like, you didn't make the adjustments. But you're not really winning and losing just based on that. You know, it's about getting guys to believe. It's about making sure that they exhaust every effort to be out there and just a belief in the system that you guys have and a coaching staff. Like, all that stuff is important. I don't think it all comes down to just X's and O's. I think we saw that with Stefanski last year. We had that X's and O's advantage 2 years ago, and the execution was impeccable down the stretch. Last year, I think the tendencies were out there, and teams took advantage of it, and they couldn't overcome it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Anthony. As the slippery wizard that you are, I don't know that you'd be able to pull off a Tony D'Amato in a locker room. I don't know that you'd get the full buy-in from your team.
I think I could do it a couple times.
Well, how do all these young coaches get it then? They are so inexperienced nowadays. You know all the stories are famous about these young head coaches who don't have 30, 25 years of sitting in a film room. They don't. I mean, the Staley example is incredible about how quickly, you know, it came together for him and how he learned the game and was able to, you know, be on that fast track. And he was blogging football when he was helping out at John Carroll and was an assistant coach. He started, you know, on message boards and paying attention to what other people. And that's how quickly he learned it. And now he's head coach.
There you go. Lima's on Reddit. Now he's head coach of the Browns.
See, I think Ken could pull it off. I don't know that you could.
Yeah.
What do you think Ken's strengths are? I got to hear this.
Loud.
Now.
Yeah, he's loud.
Yeah.
Number one, he's loud.
A little too emotional.
I think I could motivate you once. I think I can motivate you one time. I really do.
Yeah, Ken could get me to run through a brick wall.
I really think
that high school homecoming speech.
I can't do it because I'd cuss. I can't do it on the air because I'd cuss.
Right.
But I absolutely would. Daryl Ryder joining us here, brought to you by Shiman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Fantastic.
He'd be the Greg Williams of pregame speeches.
It'd be Ken Carmen. Tone, or excuse me, I should say Daryl, Deshaun Watson at OTAs felt like maybe a little bit of a tease for everybody because, boy, he's so good. But then, you know, we got the whole week going over ahead here. Amy Dash will join us at 9:20 this morning. What are you thinking right now? Can you speculate? Can you speculate on if there's a suspension? How long there's a suspension? Did anything change maybe with the NFL this week? Albert Breer was on Afternoon Drive, and he said, yeah, the NFL probably going to move, is from what he's hearing, is probably going to want to move faster because this is becoming pretty high profile.
Well, I don't want to speculate, but I think it's fair to say that the likelihood of him being suspended is pretty good. The NFL, if anything, just because of all the bad publicity that these accusations have generated. I think it's fair to say he's going to miss some time. The question is how much time. And I don't think anyone knows. Everybody right now is speculating and trying to throw numbers out there, trying to look at precedent, previous suspensions for conduct policy violations. There have been a couple for 8 games. There was one for 10 that got reduced. So I just think right now, anyone that says that they know what the NFL is going to hand down to Deshaun Watson is being disingenuous. They're speculating. They're reading the tea leaves. They're going off of what the league has done in the past. And also keep in mind that the disciplinary procedure this time around is a little different. This is not just Roger Goodell unilaterally making this decision or running the investigation. So things are a little different under this CBA as far as the procedures. I don't think we're going to learn anything until after Deshaun Watson has been heard on an appeal, because I think that is something fair to say that if the NFL does in fact suspend him, he will appeal.
He has
made it clear from day one that he did not do what he's been accused of and that he is going to defend himself against those allegations to the full extent here. So, and that obviously will include any discipline the league hands down. So while the league might move quickly to hand down the discipline, typically we don't hear what that ultimately is until after the appeal. We typically don't hear, hey, he's been suspended for X games, and then a couple of weeks later we hear, well, that suspension has now been reduced. When we hear something from the league, it usually is the final ruling after appeal.
That's interesting. Daryl Ryder joined us on the hotline. I wondered if it was going to be different this time because of the new way that they're dealing with this and just the public attention on this case that, you know, everybody wants. The biggest critics of the NFL, they want to know. Browns fans want to know. There's so many considerations here. What is the percentage, though, Daryl? Because I'm not going to ask you about how many games, because you're right. We're all guessing. I mean, we all have our numbers that we've come up in our head, and we have wishful thinking as well. But what is the percentage that you think this gets handed down before the season starts?
100%. I do not feel that we'll go into the season not knowing. In fact, I'll go a step further and say we'll know by training camp.
Yeah, I think there's been a change there. I think a lot of people were starting to think, and reputable national writers were saying this wasn't going to go down until the trial situation. And now it seems like everybody is saying just that, that brace yourself, it's going to happen before training camp.
Well, in fairness, personally, I don't believe it should come down until after these cases have been litigated. Because I think that that's a major part of this. And I also don't think that the NFL should be able to take two bites at the apple as well. The commissioner intimated this at the owners' meetings that, aside from the investigation winding down, but he intimated that if new information comes to light, that the league will look at that again, which seemed to open the door that they might suspend him twice, which Mike Florio, if I recall, was the first one to kind of throw that out there, that the league might do something like that or could consider doing something like that. And I think that's wrong. I don't think you should be able to suspend a guy twice for the same thing.
I agree.
100%. So, I honestly, in fairness to Deshaun Watson, despite what he's accused of, remember, these are accusations first and foremost, and that's not to diminish the accusers and what they are alleging, but it's similar to court of law, right? There are procedures. There is a burden of proof and things like that. And to me, a suspension of Deshaun Watson would feel to me like a conviction before this ever sees a courtroom. And I don't agree with that. We're now going to discipline people over accusations.
Well, Daryl, I understand that thinking, and I'm hearing that from a lot of Browns fans, but the way that the personal conduct policy is laid out, and they use the term conduct detrimental to the integrity and public confidence in the NFL, I mean, does this kind of stand to reason? When you know that he put himself in this position, the fact that he used, even if he is completely innocent of all that has been out there about him, when he admitted that, you know, the one accuser was left in tears, and when you just go by and see how broad these terms are in the personal conduct policy,
right,
and even if he's not doing anything wrong, if they felt threatened by him, I mean, isn't that enough and how public this case is for the NFL to suspend him for a certain number of games?
Absolutely, 100%. And again, that's why I feel like he is going to be suspended no matter what, even if he is, even if he wins all of these civil lawsuits. All 22 of them. He's going to be suspended because he's made the league look bad. The negative headlines, this story is not going away. Even after the league handles this disciplinary phase, right? Unless he settles these cases, which he has been very adamant, again, that he has done nothing wrong, that he did not abuse these women, and he is not going to settle. He is going to defend his name and his honor and whatnot. This story is going to go into next year because these cases will not see a courtroom until next March at the earliest. So this is not something that is where you can just close the book on it after the discipline comes down. And again, I do think that there's a chance there could be some double jeopardy here if these in fact go to court and some more things come out that are unsavory about Deshaun as far as allegations go. I could see the league coming back again. It wouldn't shock me. Mm. And hitting him again with another round of discipline. Again, I disagree. I think it's unfair. I think that this should wait until this stuff has been adjudicated. But to your point, Anthony, look, this is a bad black eye on the NFL, and that's all they need to discipline him, regardless if these accusations are true or not.
Daryl, how much would you pay David Njoku?
Well, he's going to get between $12 and $14 million. Do I think that his production warrants that? No, but that's what he's going to get. So I think that that's going to be the ballpark. Between $12 and $14 million a year in annual value.
Well, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is a lot of money, but again, that's the going rate, you know?
I have an impossible question out of that because it's like, well, we think David Njoku's numbers are going to go up with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is a far superior quarterback than Baker Mayfield.
Right.
No matter what anybody thinks. But if that's the case with him, then couldn't I just say, well, if Deshaun Watson's going to make everybody better, and he will, couldn't I just draft a guy in the third round or second round or whatever it is next year, and he'll make more out of him, and he'll do the same for Harrison Bryant?
Yeah, sure. You can make that argument, and if they're going to pay him that kind of money, then they need to feature him in the offense. That's for sure. I think we would all agree he's not been a feature piece of the offense. He's not been a centerpiece offensively, in spite of Kevin Stefanski's love and use of tight ends the first couple of years that he's been here. So if you're going to commit that kind of money to David Njoku, which I'm not going to argue against, I am always behind the players 100%. They're the ones putting their bodies on the line. I will never argue against them making every dollar that they can. But if you're going to commit that kind of money to David, then he's got to become a focal point of the offense, much like Amari Cooper will be, right? But to your point, Ken, which is very fair, very valid, you know, Harris and Bryant, and you look what's behind him as well. They're not spending a lot of money. Again, Bryant, Marcos, yeah. You know, they're checking out guys like Marcus Santos Silva.
You don't need to name names. There's other guys behind him. Yeah,
Forrestall's in that group. Just I can't even remember their names. You know what I'm saying? So he's got to be a centerpiece of this offense if you spend that kind of money on him.
And I understand. Like, Deshaun Watson isn't a wizard. He can't just wave a magic wand and make them all pro tight ends. But it is a weird question to ask. Well,
you better throw it to him in the end zone and in the red zone, Kent. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Those fade patterns, use his height, use his athleticism. That's what I mean by featuring him in this offense. I'm not saying you got to turn him into a 1,200-yard receiver with 15 touchdowns, but you've got to – you got to go to him on third down. You got to go to him in the red zone, in the back corner of the end zone or back line, stuff like that. And just we haven't seen that the first couple of years under Stefanski. That's my point.
Daryl, thank you for the time. All the best.
You bet, guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
Daryl Ryder joining us. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Coming up at 9:20, Amy Dash will join us. Coming up at 9:40, coming in hot, all you. We don't even screen the calls. Anthony Alford's favorite segment because he just does it half-assed. He doesn't care. Up next, Friday 5, live on The Fan. Time for the Friday 5. Golden State Warriors, they punch their ticket to the NBA Finals. You guys write this.
Don't say you guys.
Double A writes this. The Golden State Warriors punched their ticket to the NBA Finals last night. During the TNT postgame, Draymond Green said they're going to play Boston in the finals. Will the Celtics finish the job with a 3-2 lead?
Yeah, absolutely. This series is so over. I gave Miami credit for even sticking around that first half. When Jimmy Butler can't elevate and can't get into the other stuff that kind of makes him a really good player, people got carried away with his superstar status. But the injuries are too much to overcome. Tyler Hero.
Yeah, but did you read the note in your questions?
No, what's that?
There's a note.
Oh, the last two times the Celtics held a 3-2 lead in the conference finals, they blew it against Miami. No, this is over. This is over.
There's a note in there.
And the Celtics aren't even playing that well. They're playing well defensively.
What is that question, Double A? Like, we have to show our work?
Just context of this group when they were rookies in 2018. They led 3-2 against LeBron and the Cavs.
I think our listeners give a damn about the context.
What I want to know is there a chance? What percentage chance do you think the Cavs can finish in the top four next year?
In the East?
With teams like Miami, Milwaukee, 50. The Nets, and the Celtics
50-50.
And the Sixers.
Oh. What are the Nets going to be? Oh, yeah, I know. You almost said a different word. What are the Nets going to be? Are they going to have Kyrie? Will Kyrie be playing for the Cavs?
Who knows?
And the Hawks.
No, the Hawks are not.
I still think it's a 50-50 shot. I know that no year is like that year. It's just, man, they were so injured this last season.
The Hornets.
Stop it.
No. If Russell Wilson does not win another Super Bowl, will he make it to the Hall of Fame? No.
Boy, I thought this was a guarantee. I thought it was a lock. And then you looked. How many MVPs does he have? How many All-Pros does he have?
Zero. He's got a bunch first six games of the year MVPs.
Oh, my God. He owns every first six game of the year MVP.
I'm with you. No.
There we go. Wow.
Why was he just penciled in as a guarantee? I actually don't think
they're gonna... Because he won a Super Bowl in his second year?
I am.
And then went back in his third year?
I'm selling the stock of the Denver Broncos. I'm selling.
Buy or sell.
I'm selling.
Remember when the Power... This had to be a Double A question. Remember when the Power 5 commissioners couldn't agree on expanding the college football playoff?
Pepperidge Farm.
Well, there are talks among SEC officials about creating an all-SEC football playoff once Oklahoma and Texas join the conference. Is SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey blowing smoke, or is this a real possibility?
Well, they're not going to do anything that would leave money on the table, and closing off your conference and not including Ohio State, Michigan. When you look at the TV ratings, Notre Dame, when you look at the TV ratings of those schools, and now USC, the SEC is not going to be in the business of cutting themselves off of potential money. So I do think we're getting a special super conference at some point, and it's just going to be those teams in the SEC with USC, with Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Penn State, Clemson. You don't have to go that many more teams. Maybe Oregon.
I think, well, first off, I was laughing at two things. I think this is an asinine idea. What? Why does the South keep wanting to leave the rest of us? Just be in college football.
Texas, too.
Stop doing this. Stop it. And I'm talking, obviously, more than college football. Just relax. Okay? There's other good football teams out there. And to be a national champion, you have to beat everybody. It's stupid. It's a stupid conversation. I was laughing about something else that got tweeted to me. People, because of the opening segment, people are just realizing you were African American.
That's why I had to clarify that at the opening segment.
Yeah.
You had to clarify? What's it matter? I want a colorblind society.
Because.
Who are you? Those people on Twitter yesterday asked you about that quarterback room question?
What does race matter? I want no race brought up ever.
I'm colorblind. Double A?
I don't know. You got. It's a long conversation about you got to talk a certain way to be a certain
color. Well, I'd like to have that conversation right now. Let's go.
Go ahead. Music's off.
I just sound like Orson Welles doing the Paul Masson. Oh, move on to question four. He doesn't do anything. Jake Paul's targeting Glenn Big Baby Davis for his next pay-per-view fight. What former athlete would you like to see the Paul brothers face? Come on.
I can't think of the guy's name now.
Oh, I know.
God, what a great
about.
Answer.
Kendall Gill. That's the name. Kendall Gill. I think Kendall Gill could possibly win.
Herschel Walker.
His age is against him, though.
Great answer.
What are you really? Hey.
Yes.
I'm not
only
making any jokes.
I know he actually fought, and no other reason.
Five jokes lined up, and I'm not going with him.
Take it back. And I know all five jokes you had. Alonzo Highsmith. I'll say Alonzo Highsmith.
That's right.
Zoe actually fought.
Yeah, he
and
did.
I think he I beat not, the brakes off of Jake Paul.
I would not pay money for a lot of fights, but Alonzo Highsmith versus Brian Bosworth in the middle
he
of a ring.
He called Brian Bosworth a bitch to his face in front of 90,000 people.
When he was not that guy. That was back in the 80s. Yeah. This was not That's 2 true. Weeks ago.
Okay, this is, by the way, this
a
is
a college football commercial shoot.
This is kind of like our head coaching conversation with football.
I always love Alonzo
about how long it takes to really get good at something. At what point are you guys going to respect if Jake Paul's training?
Last fight, I told you. He's an athlete. He's fighting.
I mean to the next level. Because guys like Showtime Sean Porter, they've been doing golden gloves and they've been boxing since age 5, right? At what point is Jake Paul going to earn respect as if he's truly training every day? And I don't know. I really don't know. In the lead up to the fights, he's training his ass off. And people are saying he's training with some of the best. At what point is Jake Paul a boxer? We're still not calling him a boxer. We're still saying a novelty act.
When he's boxing actual boxers.
You're right. That's when it is. But those aren't going to make money. Those boxers are not going to make money.
Like, okay, I could go and work out and be a workout fiend, all right? Like, any one of those guys that he's fought could go out and kick the ass of the workout fiend of the guy working at Jiffy Lube. So this guy's got to be able to do something. He's had to have some training. Just because you're big and strong don't mean that you can fight. Clearly, Jake Paul has skills that can fight. And has his brother boxed too?
Yes.
One of them or both of them were wrestlers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. They're obviously athletes of some reputation. Yeah. So I take back some of the things I've said in the past just because I did. I thought it was a novelty act, and it is in a lot of ways. I don't know why I sat out. I was so appalled at the interview you did with one of the Pauls.
Oh, that's right.
It was with Jake.
I sat it out.
Well, because I was a fanboy. I was intentionally doing a character on that one.
Wait, you weren't being honest and
about the
authentic?
Statue? About I said if he won at the queue, we were going to lead the effort to build a statue.
So many people going, AA isn't white.
Seriously? When I heard AA on another station, I knew. You guys got to get your ears checked.
Hi.
And get your stereotypes right.
How you doing over there, AA?
Never knew colors could make sounds.
Go ahead, AA. Tell us more.
Yeah, I'd like you to go into this.
I think we're going to break.
What sport can Anthony Lyman coach best?
You answer this one. You don't think it could be football, obviously. So
it's not football. I think you could be a crew chief in a NASCAR pit crew, because that's one thing that your ego would tell you, no, nope, I don't know anything about this. You guys go ahead and do it. And I think you would do that the best.
Hi-Li's making a comeback.
You don't think I could do hoops?
Hi-Li is making a comeback. In the NBA?
In any level. I mean, what?
Yeah, you could win an NBA game.
I saw David Blatt.
How long do you think it would take me to learn? How long do you think it would take me to learn all the out of bounds plays, for instance?
10 years.
I do not think so at all.
I'm making a joke.
There's only four, right?
So yeah, there's like three usable plays.
Coming up next,
I can show you five ways to defend the pick and roll.
Coming up next, I think I got to defend the Browns a little bit on something. It's been going at me all week. Also, Lima said this to me yesterday. People keep saying, oh my God, Andrew Berry did it again. What did he do? Find out next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.